Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from Absinthe to Zinfandel. Do try this at home.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this latest incarnation of The Drink Talking. Over the next half an hour or so, we'll be pouring drinks information into your ears with me, Tom Sandon, one half of the Thinking Drinkers. As ever, I'm joined by the other half, Ben McFarland.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ben. You're great. And Sam Capon, who is a wine expert, aren't you, Sam?
A master of wine.
Yeah. I am. Yeah, I am Sam, also known as the Mistress of Wine, which is a clever little pun on being a master of wine, but a woman.
A lady.
Lady.
If you like what Sam says, you can follow her at Twitter. And what's your handle?
At Mistress of Wines.
Mistress
and
of
I've
Wines.
Got a really groovy new website, so do check that out.
And what's the URL?
www.themistressofwine.com.
Brilliant. That's nice and easy to remember. Mm. We also have a URL, thinkingdrinkers.com. You can follow us at Thinking Drinks, or you can see us live perform our comedy theatre and tastings, a museum of comedy, every month, a residency there in London, and see us at the Edinburgh Fringe and on a UK tour.
Do you still wear dresses?
We do. We strip to underpants sometimes as well.
Yeah,
if that is something
burn
you need
on
to
my retinas.
Yeah, that is either a good thing or a bad thing, depending
I'm
on your
eyesight. I'm undecided.
But we're here today.
Even in the show.
We're here today just to talk about drinks and maybe stripped to our underpants, you'll never know. Anywho, Ben, what have you been up to? We haven't heard much from you to start with, apart from...
Oh, what have I been up to? Wow, that's a good question, actually.
Where do I start?
I find it a bit strange you asking me, because you know what I've been up to. Not much, being a dad of two young children. A wonderful husband and father.
You are.
And I've been not getting enough sleep. But trying different drinks and stuff, you know, as that's what we do.
What we do. Writing a new show.
Writing a new show.
Oh,
I'm glad someone is.
Yeah.
Who's doing the writing? Ben.
Well, neither of us at the moment.
I want to tell you what we have done. We've just finished a book.
Oh.
Writing, not reading.
The updated one.
We've got an updated book, World's Best Beers, which is coming out in the autumn, which we've just put to bed.
Lovely.
Which is a nice feeling. So that's coming out in autumn. So
okay.
It's a second edition of a book I first wrote back in 2009, and now Tom's gone.
Jumping on the coat.
Oh, really? Sounds like a good Christmas present.
It's a perfect
for anyone interested in beers.
As is our other book, Thinking Drinker's Guide, which is available in all good bookshops. Yeah,
yes.
Right. Thanks for listening, guys.
So that's it. So today we have three sections, as ever. Wine tasting today with Sam. And Ben is going to do our Legend of Liquor. But first, it's me with Spit or Swallow. And the spit today, things that are making me spitting mad, duty on spirits.
Boo.
Boo, indeed.
Back off tax, man.
Yes. Recently, vodka duty increased by 28p on a bottle. The gin industry was hit with a 30p on a 70cl bottle of gin. Which now means that duty on your bottle of gin accounts for £8.05.
So, I thought wine was getting it in the knackers at £2.16.
There you go.
£8.05.
And that's just
that's
tax.
Chunky.
It is a lot, isn't it? I think some would argue, particularly in the industry, that it's too much. Even if you don't feel that it is too much and that alcohol should be taxed at that level, it is kind of hindering an industry, the spirits industry, and it's quite an important economic provider, we could argue, in this country.
How does it compare with European countries? Well, we're not one of them. Yeah.
This is the thing. I mean, we are now, we're third. We're probably, well, we are behind Sweden still, Ireland and Finland.
But they're quite weird, those countries. Well, they're not weird themselves, but they are, they're lovely countries.
I would pay my duty for Sweden, Ben. I mean, they've given us the Nobel Peace Prize, although Alfred Nobel did create dynamite. They have done that, and they haven't been to war for two centuries.
No, but and also their country works. You go there, everything works. Yeah. People seem quite happy.
They're a non-violent country. They banned Sweden. Spanking. Yes, the Swedes banned spanking first. Spanking. Children. Of children. That's quite a good thing.
And you know that apparently they say the suicide rates in Sweden are higher than any other country in Europe. But do you know why?
Well, it's so dark.
No, it's not.
Per capita thing.
Well, no, it's because there is not a massive taboo considered in Sweden.
Really?
So when people do kill themselves in other countries, especially in Catholic countries, apparently, they're often the coroner will say death by misadventure or something like that.
Oh, really?
And so it's actually not much higher than it's just the Swedes are like, he killed himself. Yeah.
It's his rights. He did it.
Yeah.
And if you want to kill yourself, do kill yourself, listeners. It's okay.
No, don't.
Well, try not to. I mean, if you do when you're listening to this, any PR is good PR. Let's be honest. So that's Sweden. And in fact, to be fair to the Swedes, beautiful people. I would pay a lot more for my drink if it meant I could sit in a bar in Sweden and look.
I've never felt so ugly in my life.
That's
when
the other thing.
Stockholm.
As long as,
God.
As,
I've
as,
never
as
been,
I can sit
God.
In the corner.
The women and the men?
Both. Oh, I mean, both. I remember getting to Stockholm, being lost, and tapping a labourer in the street on the shoulder. He was digging a hole. He got up and he was like 6'7", just chiselled. And I looked at him and
goes, oh, wow,
if this is what a man digging a hole in the road looks like, I won't be talking to any girls while I'm here. That's pretty sure.
I have been thinking recently, genuinely, about moving to Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah, well, you should. It looks fantastic.
Well, Finland. I quite fancy Finland.
Finland. I don't know much about Finland. They have won
great
a lot
schooling.
Of off-road car championships, haven't they? What they called
the rally driving.
Hey, don't drink and drive, though.
Don't even putt.
There you go. Listeners, you can have that one for free. Irish, of course, they pay a lot of tax, but they've got great chat. So, you know, you could pay for that, couldn't you? So anyway, we're paying a lot. And it has wound the industry up. We don't really make many things in this country anymore. We do make spirits, so perhaps we should just be a bit more protective of something we make.
So it winds the industry up because volumes go down, because people buy less?
Interestingly, they pushed for a drop in the duty by about 2% back in 2015. Revenues went up. I think because all that tax is being put onto the consumer,
but 20%
of it's
pays
VAT.
It, right?
I mean, that's a hell of a lot. Mm. So they're less inclined to buy it. And I think one of the things we've seen with the beer industry, which Ben talks about and champions a lot, is the progressive beer duty. Gordon Brown brought this in effect to help small businesses grow. So up to 60,000 hectolitres of beer produced, that producer will receive less of a tax
than the tax-free.
If it was amazing, 2002 that he introduced it, that really precipitated the boom in breweries, and it's quite easy-ish to earn sort of all right money if you're a small brewer. If you want to expand and grow, then obviously there become challenges. But I don't think there's such a thing in spirits, is there?
No.
Whether you're the small guy starting in your backyard.
Though, I think one of the reasons there isn't is because it's not been much of an industry. Yeah. And it's actually been very difficult to get a spirits license. But that's changing. And if we look at what happened in America, the craft distilling movement has followed the same trajectory as the craft beer movement. Almost exactly. There's a lot of interest in setting up small distilleries now. If there was a bit of a relief on that, it might encourage artisan and correctly priced. I mean, £30 for a bottle of gin is not too expensive, but it's about passing
on
all of the cost to us. So maybe we should champion this more, Ben.
But I also think it's like, we're, as a nation, we tax our sins. We tax our enjoyment.
Yeah.
And if you go to Germany, they don't tax their beer. They champion it. All their sausages, no. And they don't. The French don't tax their wine. They help their winemakers and their spirits. They barely tax them either.
Mm.
And they tax everything, the French. Mm. I think
Which
education
is
and
money
knowledge.
In the coffers, isn't it, really?
I mean, the only good thing about it is that the more you drink, the the more nurses and hospitals and schools you're making.
Yeah,
you know, at the moment, that's the only.
See that figure, 128 million in revenues. So that's quite a lot of money that the industry's giving back.
Yes.
So we should value
it's
that.
It's not all bad.
It's not all bad. But let's move on to my swallow because that's.
Oh, can I just say one thing about my idea about rather than taxing sort of ABV or strength, but you tax quality?
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
So we could have like HMRC, we could do it.
But it's quite objective.
Well, yeah, but. Well, what we can do? Well, no, if you get three experts, I don't know, say like us, and we sit on a panel, and we every week we go into HMRC and we taste every beer, wine and spirit that has been released, and we go, that's made well, that's nice, tax that less. Oh, a new WKD has come out and it's not made in the way that it should be.
Nothing wrong with WKD.
Nothing WKD, other, what are they called?
Well, I don't know, we wrote a book for them on kebabs, so let's not knock them too hard.
Okay, let's just say, I don't know, some terrible, terrible thing, some cream liqueur made with, I don't know, asbestos or something. You go, that's not good, we'll tax that higher.
Yes. Yes.
So what we do as a nation, we encourage people to drink less, but drink better.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
And therefore,
that's it.
I think that would be a good thing. So HMRC, if you're listening,
we're available.
And you will be, we are available at a huge cost.
Which will diminish the coffers for hospitals.
Here's a question, boys. Yeah. If you were going to set up a brewery or a distillery, which one would you do?
That's a good question.
I would do a distillery, but I'd employ a distiller. It's very chemistry-based knowledge, whereas we can brew a beer at home.
Yeah,
I just think the margins...
It depends who was fronting up the money, to be honest.
Yeah,
If they wanted us to do a brewery, I'd do a brewery. If I wanted a distillery, then I'd do that.
I'd do neither, just because I like drinking it.
But I think that 135 distilleries opened in the last year.
It's a boom industry. But I'm going to move on to my swallow.
I'm just conscious
that we're talking about tax and, you know, tax in the ears is not as nice as animals.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, because my swallow is all about animals. I was going to talk about Bombay Sapphire because it recently arrived on shelves in Canada at 77% ABV just by an accident of bottling. They bottled...
Finally making Canada interesting.
Yeah, I mean...
It wasn't an accident of labelling.
It wasn't.
It was
77%. It was labelled at the standard 40% ABV. But I'm not going to talk about that because I want to talk about rats in India, in the state of Bihar. Bihar, a dry state where they've confiscated a lot of alcohol. And the police reported that 900,000 litres of their confiscated alcohol had been drunk by rats. Brilliant, brilliant rats.
That's
brilliant.
Dirty,
is that true?
It's good.
Dirty
that's what they said, you dirty rats, why I order. But a few things. It's an animal story, obviously, funny. Animals drinking, monkeys, elephants, moose, all good. Some sad stories. Obviously, there are some bad examples of animals drinking. There was a chimpanzee in Russia called John, who they encouraged to drink and smoke, and he died at a young age. That's cruel. Monkeys wearing human clothes, though, and drinking tea.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why that's cruel. That's just funny. But then there are good stories, like the elephants who eat the marula fruit. Amarula?
Amarula? Like from the alcohol.
Yeah, because the fermented, the ethanol in it makes them happy. And as we've been discovering, Ben, haven't we, as we do research for our new show, which will be at Edinburgh Fringe this year, the monkeys came out of the trees to eat fermenting fruits. And in fact, the anthropologists and archaeologists are linking it back to evolution. The fact
so
that
us as apes took our first steps
on land. To get that fruit.
No way.
Like, I fancy,
dying
for a drink.
Yeah, not only did it make them feel quite happy, there were more calories in it, which were important, and also the ethanol was providing some sort of medicinal barrier.
What about animal hangovers? A rampaging elephant?
Yeah,
with a headache.
Okay. That's pretty bad, I agree. You can pick holes in my story if you like, but but it's just about we'll get back to the rats and animal kingdom, but also rats are a pretty bad deal with humans generally, with people putting ears on their back and stuff. So it's nice that they did steal their alcohol, 900,000 litres. But of course, third point on this is they didn't, did they? The police said rats stole 900,000
litres. Yeah, I did read that and think that's not
no,
true.
No, they didn't. And I think what this is also an example of is prohibition going wrong. I suspect they probably did.
I read that in the paper last week. And I read, you know, when you're reading something in a hurry and you think, that's a lot of booze for rats to drink. That looks a little unlikely.
It would have killed them.
But also, how do they get into the bottles?
I just think it's another example of prohibition going wrong. That would be my suspicion. America tried it, didn't they, in the 20s, and
didn't
crime
work.
Got organised. It was all bad news bears. So, someone's texting in, Ben. What's what are our listeners saying?
They're saying, what a great story about rats.
Tell us more. I will tell you more. Just as an aside, this one's for you, Sam, on a wine point. In 2013, researchers at the University of Reading gave the rats that they tested, and I don't like testing on rats, but they gave them a glass of champagne a week. And they found that those who received the bubbly were better at conquering the maze and remembering where treats were hidden than those who didn't have the champagne.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a nice, interesting aside on the rats. And interestingly, we will be in Reading, Ben, on October the 13th with our show at the South Street Arts Centre.
Lovely.
So I dropped that in as it was a Reading story.
Yeah,
very subtly done as well.
It's a great place to go out. The Purple Turtle.
Yeah, so that's our spit or swallow. And now a word from our sponsor before we hear all about wine.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Ben McFarland from the Thinking Drinkers, and you're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
So today we are tasting two examples of the Chardonnay grape. So glasses to the ready. We have got, the first one we're going to taste is a Chablis.
Not a Chardonnay, a Chablis.
Well, So there's so much to talk about. I almost don't know where to start. So Chablis is made from Chardonnay. So as you know, or maybe don't know, in the old world, mainly Europe, wines are labelled according to the region. So Chablis is actually a village in France, and all around, whether it's a Croz Hermitage or Sancerre, or the same applies in Italy or Spain, the wine... it's labelled according to a geographical indication. And then when you go to the New World, it's labelled according to the grape. So it's much trickier buying wine that's from Europe, because you do need a little bit of knowledge to actually know what grape is in the wine, because that's the building block.
Another reason to leave them.
Good riddance.
So basically the grape variety is the absolute building block of what the wine's going to taste like. So Chardonnay is grown all around the world. It's generally, I think, pretty easy to grow, and it can be a fairly neutral grape variety, and you can really, as a winemaker, do tons with it. So in a cool climate like Chablis, there's not necessarily loads of very overt aromas going on. What are you guys finding in it?
It's always a bit sort of predictable to say citrus, isn't it? Anything fruity. But it is quite sort of almost a little bit lemony.
Chalky. Oh, really? You would say that, actually, because a couple of things. One, if you ever get a wine and you really don't know what it smells of, there's a couple of good words you can use that make you sound more knowledgeable than just saying...
Yeah, we need those.
So you might say, it's very restrained.
Really?
It's very subtle. It's quite
delicate.
Subtle. I don't know what I'm getting here, so it must be subtle.
Or a little, it's a little bit tight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little bit tight on the
wait
nose.
Wait a minute.
It might need to open up a bit.
Oh, I've used these lines when drinking wine.
So the thing with this Chardonnay...
Is it tight?
It is. It's not too
tight.
Bad, actually.
No.
But it's from the... Chablis is quite a cool region. Not trendy, as in... Well, both, you know, but it's cold.
Right.
And it can suffer terribly from spring frosts. And so it's, you know, it's cold. So if you think about the little berry on the vine... It's not going to open and, you know, it's not going to get really ripe and rich, in fact, because the sun just doesn't get mega hot. So the wine is always going to be, you know, a bit more elegant, a bit more restrained aromatically and in weight and depth of flavour. So Chablis typically is sort of nuts and honey.
Okay.
Love your chalky thing. It's got very famous sort of Kimmeridgian soils, very chalky soils in Chablis. So that's a good shout there.
It's very, very nice. And I like the fact that it is subtle. It's not too... It is quite dry.
It's got a nice texture.
Yeah. Interesting you say about, because they've had really bad frosts there, haven't they, this year? So does this particularly affect this grape?
We also had terrible frosts in the UK. One of the key varieties in English sparkling wine is Chardonnay. So it's Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. So weirdly, in Champagne, two of the grapes are actually red. Only one is white, but you press the grape so gently you don't get the colour out.
I don't want to draw you too far away from our tasting, but one more question on that. Does that mean this is a good year to buy wines from those regions because there's not going to be much of it, or does that mean that the wine
complete
is
complete reverse?
Right,
so it decimates a crop, and some years some English producers have literally produced nothing.
Really?
And then if what is produced obviously is really expensive because there's not enough of it.
But what happens to the grapes? Do they ever think, well, I can't use this?
The thing. It's before the grapes are formed. I think it's doing sort of like bud bursts. So it's like, you know, just when they're all coming out and starting to grow, and then they get absolutely nailed. So there's no fruit comes. If it's really bad. But basically, the real takeout, I guess, is Chablis is Chardonnay. So if you get people coming and going, oh, I hate Chardonnay, but I love Chablis, you might want to change your phrasing I don't like oak Chardonnay, or I like lean or tight Chardonnay or whatnot.
Lean
more
or
mineral.
Because if I'm shopping for white wine and I see Chardonnay, it's the same as if I'm going for red wine, I see Merlot. I have this kind of alarm bell ringing that Merlot after Sideways kind of absolutely
did
kicked
it
in the swingers, which is silly, but Chardonnay went through this in the 90s, was massive. And then is there still a sort of hangover from
definitely.
Where Chablis must probably dodge
get
that
away with it.
Because no one knows that they're buying Chardonnay.
Exactly. So no, there's a massive sort of ABC movement, which is anything but Chardonnay. And that really still persists. I mean, I was working at the BBC Good Food last year, and the amount of consumers I talked to who say, you know, drinking a Chardonnay or something as a sparkling Chardonnay and didn't actually want to try it because they're like, oh, that really put me off. It's got Chardonnay on the label. And you think, well, A, it's sparkling, so it's going to be very sort of light. And B, nowadays, Chardonnay is so different. Like, these big Dolly Parton styles don't exist anymore. They're, the oak's been pared down. The something called malolactic fermentation, where you get that really creamy, buttery notes in wine, that's just, you know, more subtle, more restrained.
Mm. Are we going to try a Chardonnay? Is that an actual Chardonnay?
Yes, so this is an actual Chardonnay. This is the Definition Chablis from Majestic, which if you buy one bottle is $15.99, but if you buy it as part of the mixed case, it's $13.99. So Chablis is expensive, though. That's the thing.
Okay. Oh, it is. That is quite expensive, because we tried we did in our show 2 shows ago about Easter.
Oh, yeah.
For our communion wine.
Lovely.
We chose their Rioja Reserva from Definition. And that was really good.
Yeah.
And that's a tenner if you buy 6.
So here we've got a second wine, and it's another Chardonnay.
But this says Chardonnay on the bottle,
yeah.
so this is a Chardonnay.
This is a real Chardonnay, not a pretend Chardonnay.
Okay.
So this is the Louis-Philippe Edwards Grand Reserva Chardonnay from Casablanca in Chile.
Ah.
Okay.
I've had a Louis-Philippe Edwards. I've had that wine in red.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't remember what it was. It was all right, though.
They're a big producer. And again, that's from Majestic. It's $9.99 if you get just one bottle, but if you buy it as part of a mixed case, it's $7.99. And you can see from the colour...
Oh, that is totally different.
It's very different. And if you see from the colour, it's a deeper colour. That will be partly because the grapes are warmer from having been in a warmer country. Also from the oak. The oak will give it a bit more colour. And then it's had what it says here, that it's some lees aging, which is the same as sort of...
Cognac. They did that in Cognac.
Did they?
Talk about lees wines.
It's called batonnage in French. Oh, la, la. And you basically stir the dead yeast lees and it adds sort of this weight and texture. But the other really fundamental thing is if you smell it, and if you look at it as well, it's this thing called malolactic fermentation, which is actually a bacterial conversion, where the malic, like acid, bacteria change to lactic. So if you think you're changing apples to milk, so you, that's what gives you this texture, this like glycerine-y kind of texture.
I'd imagine that would be quite overpowering, but actually that's quite a short sort of finish to it. It creates the sensation in your mouth, and then it's quite clean at the end, isn't it? It doesn't actually... That might put me off a bit. You're spitting yours out. Gosh, what a professional.
I'm doing a cleanse.
Okay.
I can't drink for 3 weeks.
Okay. We're drinking it.
I'm getting...
Peach.
Well, normally I say peach because...
That's a good one to drop in.
Yeah.
Lots of peach.
But I get rhubarb.
Do you?
Loads of rhubarb.
That's interesting.
I like that.
Yeah. I like it.
It's like rhubarb.
It's nice, isn't it?
Crumble.
I imagine it go nicely with food, with sort of maybe even a... I wouldn't think of a whites with a
it's quite meaty mellow
dish.
But it'd be good with pork, I think. Yeah. Anything that's got apple in or anything like chicken, obviously. Slightly weightier, meaty fish, like a nice monkfish. And actually, I think pork would be nice
would
as
have
well.
That with something, yeah, a bit more
and even
juicy.
Anything with a creamy sauce.
I'll tell you what, that is not so tight. It's a bit more open, so I'd have that with something juicy for sure.
But it's really easy.
Come on. Grow up, listeners.
It's a really easy drink. It's a really nice, easy drink wine. But can you see the differences between the two?
Definitely.
Yes.
That's
like
incredible.
A lean, tight, restrained
chalk and cheese.
Wine, and then a more opulent, sort of broader, slightly more tropical fruit with your rhubarb. I get a little bit of pineapple and a little bit of peach and maybe even a little bit of yellow plums.
Oh, plums. Around your gums. Love
and
a bit of plums in your gums.
Just a suggestion of spice, and vanilla from the oak.
Yeah,
from the
lovely
oak
stuff. Well, thank you very much, Sam. That was entertaining, educational, and very tasty, not for you listeners. But we're going to move on now to our legend of liquor, and this podcast, it is Ben.
I've been looking forward to this because this man... who we're going to do for Legends of Liquor this week is a bit of a hero of mine when I was growing up. He was one of the greatest, and still is one of the greatest wrestlers that has ever lived. And his name is Andre René Roussimoff.
Good name.
A.K.A. Andre the Giant.
Was how
he
big was he?
Little chap.
I'll tell you how big he was when he was 12. He grew up in a town called Grenoble in France, which is where I went to university.
Was it?
Yeah. And it's very nice. Je m'appelle. When he was 12,
do you speak fluent French?
He was 6'3" when he was 12. He weighed over 240 pounds. I don't know what that is in stone. I think that's about.
We can work that out. It's 14.
That's probably about 15, 16, 15, 16 stone.
Okay, heavy, big.
He's a big 12-year-old. That wasn't good because he was diagnosed with something called acromegaly. Acromegaly?
Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça?
It's a rare glandular syndrome which produces excess hormones and accelerates growth in your
head. So he wasn't genetic, him being so big. It was this...
No, he just grew too quickly. Yeah. And so his head, hands and feet grew. Nothing else, unfortunately, for him. It's not actually a humorous thing because it curtails your life. Most people who have it...
Do you know how old he was when he died? Like, does it shorten your life?
He died at 47. That was well over what he should have...
Yeah.
Live to. He was not only just an okay wrestler, he was amazing. His size was amazing and he became massive in wrestling. He became a Hollywood film star.
When are we talking about?
Our childhood, we would have watched him on
He was when WWF was like Hulk Hogan was his nemesis. Hulk Hogan. So Hulk Hogan went in and became this sort of film star as well.
Is that a real person?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's. That's his stage name, I think, his wrestling name, as is Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And he's called Andre the Giant because he was a giant. But the reason why he's in a drinks podcast is because he still holds the unofficial record for drinking the most beers in one sitting.
Ooh, well, let's guess.
Yes,
you
okay.
know the answer, so I'm the only
I can
one who
tell
can
you.
Guess.
I'm afraid
let me guess.
I do know the answer to this. It's
pints of?
Let's see, bottles of beer. Bottles. It was a six-hour sitting.
Okay, you can easily do 3 an hour.
6 hours.
So it's 8. I'm going to round it up. I'm going to say 25 bottles.
Mm. Oh, Sam. 119 bottles.
Oh, my God.
Of beer. Of it was
weak alcohol.
Well, it was Budweiser.
Now, one might say, Ben, that he did drink this because he had a problem.
Yes, it wasn't. It was, no, he didn't have a problem.
An alcohol problem?
Well, no, he drank a lot of alcohol, but drinking 119 bottles of Budweiser of him was like us drinking 119 thimbles of beer.
Yeah.
He was massive. Well,
how massive was he? Because he was 6'3" at 12. Do we know what his finishing
stature was? He was 7 feet tall and he weighed 500 pounds. He was called the eighth wonder of the world. That gives you an idea of how big he was. And he consumed, on average, 7,000 calories of alcohol every day, which is the equivalent of 53 bottles of Bud every single day. But he was a great guy to go drinking with, not only because he drank a lot and didn't show it. He was a very good drunk. He always got the round in. There was a very famous time where he went drinking with Arnold Schwarzenegger in a bar, and Arnie slipped off to try and pay the bar bill, and he found him trying to pay and picked him up and and picked Arnie up and held him above his head and until he put his credit card away, and then he dropped him down again.
I need more friends.
And then he starred in The Princess Bride. While he was filming, he ran up a 23 grand bar tab at his hotel, and he was told by the director to stop getting other co-stars to go out drinking with him.
So basically, he was a functioning alcoholic.
Yes, but it really eased the pain he felt. I think the pain gets worse as you get older. The most interesting thing about Andre the Giant, and one of the weirdest things really, is that when he was 12, he was too big to get in his dad's car.
Can I just say, we've had that. My husband's 6'8", and we rocked up to Sardinia for his 40th, and he didn't get in the car. We had to go back to the desk and go,
oh, well, car's too small.
Yeah.
So I can sympathise
with that. Petito.
Yeah.
Or whatever they... Whatever. Anyway. But no, his dad couldn't get into school, and so his dad's boss said, look, I'll take him to school in my truck.
Yeah.
And his dad's mate, who obviously had taken him in the truck, was Samuel Beckett. So Samuel Beckett used to take Andre the Giant to school in his truck.
Nice school.
And apparently Samuel Beckett was obsessed with cricket and used to talk to Andre the Giant, a French basic teenager, about cricket, which no idea what he's talking about. And then Andre the Giant became a big cricket fan. And this idea, if you were into wrestling, the idea of Samuel Beckett and Andre the Giant sharing a car
is quite
every
weird.
Day is massively weird. Yeah. I mean, they are superstars in their own spheres, and a more incongruous relationship I can't imagine.
That is hard to imagine.
So he drank Budweiser, and so for him it was just, he might as well have been drinking water. And I was actually going to bring some Budweiser in today, but I couldn't find any in the shop.
Not so prevalent, is it?
But Budweiser's kind of hailed as this, as a kind of the Death Star of brewing, as if
it's
this awful...
still such an American icon.
It is like an American icon, but also, if you actually speak to any brewer, whether they make Imperial Stouts or they work for the coolest craft brewery in the world, they will say that the way that Budweiser makes their beer so consistently the same and so consistently tasteless... You go back to your Chardonnay.
Pinot Grigio.
Very delicate, subtle, very tight.
Yeah. A lot of people like things that don't taste a lot. Like, that's
absolutely.
Why Pinot Grigio is so popular.
In particular, in America, after Prohibition, they went through a whole phase of trying to get very bland flavours because they'd banned alcohol. But there you go. So Budweiser is actually...
Well, actually, all it is in terms of brewing prowess, it's incredible. It's like if you're brewing a lager that is that tasteless, I heard one brewer compare it to running down a beach with your clothes off. All your faults, your flaws will be exposed. And to do that over and over again.
Like any really big brand, the bigger the brand and the bigger the volume, the more you have to strive for consistency.
Absolutely.
And, you want less bottle variation and whatnot.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question. Did your chap have children? Did he pass on his gigantism? Was it genetic?
I don't think he did. His dad died. And then Andre the Giant died the day after, apparently.
Carrie Fisher. And her mum.
Beckett drank as well, didn't he? Only after 4 in the afternoon. Because he drank to cure his insomnia. And lots of other writers, of course, Ben. William Shakespeare, he drank in the George Inn in London.
Can
still drink in that pub where Shakespeare drank. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
I like to.
He drank in there every day until the bartender said, in the George Inn, the bartender said, you're barred.
Very good.
I thought I'd get that in there because it's probably about time to...
Can I just say, though, I don't think drinking loads of booze is the best cure for insomnia, because I find it's really good at getting you to sleep, but then you wake up at 4 o'clock, you need a pee, and then your heart's racing and you can't go back to sleep.
Drinking excessively. I think maybe he had a glass of something and that just made him feel drowsy.
I find like 1 to 2 glasses is great. Any more than that and I wake up in the night and then I don't...
Angsty.
Yeah.
Drinking
so
excessively is bad all round, folks. It's
particularly if you're over 40.
Yeah. Our motto, drink less.
Drink better.
Drink better.
Okay, well, thank you, Ben. That was...
Very
quite
interesting.
The enlightening legend, a sportsman who drank.
To there excess. We
go. Yeah, to excess, but not for him. Well done, Andre. Well done, everyone.
Well really done. Enjoyed. Great energy, guys.
Beautiful. Really enjoyed that edition of our podcast. Hope you did too, listeners. Just a reminder, Sam, of the wine that we've been drinking. Where are they available from?
They're both from Majestic Wines. You've got the Definition Chablis and then the Louis-Philippe Edwards Grand Reserve Chardonnay.
Thank you very much. Follow Sam on her Twitter feed at
Mistress of Wines.
Follow us at Thinking Drinks. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for letting us pour this information into your ears. If you've enjoyed this podcast and like to learn more about drink, then you can see Ben and Tom, the Thinking Drinkers, in our live show where we'll be tasting alcohol, making you laugh. We're on tour. We're at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival throughout August and then around the UK and in London. All dates and ticket prices can be found on our website, www.thinkingdrinkers.com. Please buy a ticket, please.
And if you want any more wine information, then go to my site, www.themistressofwine.com. Thanks.
Tune in next week when we will be having Spit or Swallow from Sam.
Any, it's a good one.
Which one? Will you get any insights on that?
No.
Okay, and you're going to be tasting, Ben,
some Italian beers. What's the matter, you? Hey.
My legend of liquor will be a whiskey drinker. So tune in then. Thanks for listening.
Ta-ta.
Cheers.
Cheerio.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.